Friday. If you will, this morning, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Let's start with verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. But he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him: if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him death, that give him life for them that sin not unto death. Let me go back to verse 16. If any man seeth his brother's sin, a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. An unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We've seen right here the faith that John, right here, is trying to declare unto us. Not only unto us, but for us to be able to share it with other people. And verse 4 says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Born of God. We of individuals that are here this morning is born of God. We've also been born of God before, but we was also born a second time. And we was born through the blood and the water that Jesus Christ shedded there at Calvary. Now, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, as which is Jehovah God. The Word, which is his Son, Jesus Christ, which bears record of what he's done for each one of us. And we can find out what he has done for us. He has bad record. And his record is right here. His record is in no other volume, but it's in this volume of 66 books. We have 66 books that bore the record of Jesus Christ. And with that record that we have, it's settled in heaven. A whole lot of times I've told you that when I get to heaven, nothing man-made is going to go. This Bible right here is not going to go, because I'm not going to need it. Because when God the Father, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, he's going to ask me some questions. And he knows the answer that I will come up with. And it's not going to be the right answer. But then he's going to turn to his son, say, son, now you go get the book that bears the record of him through what faith that he believed and trusted in us. When Jesus Christ, when he goes to get that book, I can come up and I can say anything I want to, but it ain't going to make no difference. It ain't going to make no difference if I tell God exactly what I done. And if I done wrong. Because, see, God's not going to just stop with that one. God is going to come down and say, Donnie, look at all these others. But you remember that wherein you bore my righteousness, come through the Son, through Jesus Christ. And when you sinned against me, when you have sinned against my Son, and when you sinned against the Holy Spirit, after you are saved, the Son, my beloved, came to me and says, Father, forgive him. Forgive him. And the Father's going to say right there, he says, you know what I told my Son? Now, it's not that I can find what he told his Son, but I tell you what, can't nobody say it's not going to happen because I don't know. It could just much happen that way as any other way. But he's going to say, Son, you remember. What did I tell you about him? When he come and he asked you for forgiveness, and then you brought him to me, and you said, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he has done. What did I say to you, Son? I believe his Son says, you know, I can go back and I can think about it. I know what you said. I know exactly what you said. You said, Son, what sin are you talking about? He's the only one that I know of that has forgotten about all my past sins, all my present sins, and all of my future sin. But even that, does not give me the right. It does not give me the cause to go out here and sin. And I believe if anything, what it does give me the right to do, it gives me the right to love him more. And do more for him. Why? Because he's done so much more for me. Well, see, he didn't have to forgive me of my sin. He said, yeah, I forgave you of them sins in the past because you accepted my Son. But says, you know, since then, the sins that you've committed, I know every one of them. And he does. He knows every one of them. But thanks be to God, he does not hold them against me. He does not hold your sin against you. Why? Because he is a loving God. A loving God. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. That's in verse 9. Verse 11 says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. I'm so thankful that my life is in their hands. Because if my life was not in their hands, and ain't no telling what would be. Ain't no telling what would be. I cannot keep my life. But I know one thing. God the Father, He can keep His life. The Son of God can keep His life. He is the eternal one. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Bye-bye. But it says right here in verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what does it say? He hears us. And if He hears us, He's going to examine our life. It's better for Him to examine our life than it is for us to examine it. Because if we examine our own life, we're going to come up short. But see, if God examines our life, He never comes up short. Why? Because God forgives. We can't forgive. We can't forget. That's the people. That's the type of people we are. We cannot forgive. We cannot forget. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. And all of this, and what all of this in chapter 5 of the book of John. And you have 1 John, you have 2 John, you have 3 John, then you have Jude and Revelation, you have Peter. You have all the books of the Bible, 66 books, hinges on one thing. For us, it hinges on one thing. It hinges on one verse, a scripture. And it's verse 13 in chapter 5. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of God. Of the Son of God. That we may know. It's not no hope so. It's not no maybe so. But we can know within our heart and within our soul in whom we serve. And it goes along with either we're serving God and we know in our heart if we're serving God. We also can say that ye may know. What does it say? That ye have eternal life. And it also we can read into this, and it's in this Bible also through right here in one of the 66 books. It says that we may know that ye have eternal damnation is for the lost. There's number one or two places that the human race is going to hang their shield up. It's either going to be heaven with eternal life, or it's going to be in hell with eternal damnation. See, that's what a whole lot of people thinks about hell. They say, well, I'm going to hell. I'm going to go to that. I'm going to be with my friends. I'm going to be with these. And, you know, after I get there, if it's going to be all right. I'm going to just have all my friends down there. They're going to be right there with me. The thing about it is, you ain't going to know a soul when you get there. You ain't going to know nobody. The only thing that is going to be speaking to you, and the only thing that you can speak to, is I wished I had have listened a little more. I wished I'd have came forward when they sung the invitation. That's the only thing that they're going to be able to hear. They're going to be able to hear every song that they ever heard. The words from God. Every message that they've ever heard, they're going to, every message is going to be brought back to them. And when they knew that they needed to come forward, and they didn't. And they said, well, maybe next week. Maybe next week. Next week never gets here. Just like tomorrow. Tomorrow never gets here. Today is the day of salvation. And if anybody wants to be saved, they need to come on that particular day, the day that they're living in. And when God has given out the invitation, and God has squarely given out the invitation. I know churches right here in the city of Danville that don't even give out invitations. I know of churches right here in the city of Danville, and if I told you, you would not believe what I told you because of the church, because of what they stood for in the past, but what they're standing for today. They've changed views. They've changed their standards. Why? Because they want to get more people in the church. Now, I'm not against getting more people into the church. What I am against is the way that they're doing it. That you can get there an hour before service even starts, Sunday school or whatever, and once you get there, you can go in, you can fix your cup of coffee, you can pick you up a Danish roll or honey bun or something like that, or donut. And then when you do, then you can pick it up. You don't take it to no table and feast on it there and then go into the service later. No, you pick up that food that you got, the drink, the coffee, whatever, the food that you got, and you take it and you lift it up. And you take it into the service with you. But you look at them. Oh, they got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of
people coming. They run out of room for. But then they don't even have no preacher that will preach behind a pulpit and give them the word of God. They will come up front and they will take and they will pull down, or probably don't even have to pull it down, it's probably already nailed to the wall, isn't it? We grab big old screens and everything, and then they'll just push a button, and when they push a button, then they got somebody on the screen preaching. If you're going to do that, won't you just stay at home? And you'll hear about a preaching at home. It's the same thing. Except the difference is, yes, you have people there. But you cannot go up, shake the preacher's hand and say, "Preacher, you know, that was a message I needed for today. That was a good message. I needed that." Mm-mm. Why? Because they don't know who the Son of God is. I honestly believe this, if they truly knew who the Son of God is, and if they truly know who the Son of God was, and still is, and still going to be tomorrow, they would be doing things differently. Be doing things differently. You ever hear any? You can go into our services, you don't hear anything at all about the chastisement of God. You don't hear anything at all about the wrath of God. You don't hear anything at all about eternal damnation. You don't hear anything at all about when people go to hell. Because people's got the idea of what hell is all about. Is that when you get to hell, that's the end of it. That's the reason people think today, when you die, that's the end of it. That is the end of what we know. I remember after I got saved, the first church I went and joined. The pastor said this. In his messages there one Sunday night, I believe it was. He says, "For what I know that's in this Bible, 66 books, and I know that every word in it is true. Even the words on the outside that's on the cover is still true. It's God's holy, precious word." He said, "But in knowing all of that, and knowing my life since I've been saved, in the life that I live now, and knowing what I know today, if there was a chance, and I don't believe that there is a chance," he said, "if there is any kind of a chance at all that anything that's in this book that's not true, if there's not a God in heaven, if there's a Son that's not in heaven sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and if there was not a Holy Spirit, if all of that was just a myth, like a whole lot of people think it is,
I will still say this. Still been the best life that I've ever had. But see, I know it's not a myth. I know it's true. How do I know it's true? Because the Lord Jesus Christ lives within me. And he said, God the Father also lives within me. And the Holy Spirit also lives within me. The triune God lives within us. He takes care of us. I mean, listen, we can just think about all the people I hear that's not saved. That's just I here and doing their little thing. If they will just think about it, and we can think about it because we know. If they would, and they say, well, there's no God. How many of you ever heard that from people? When people say, well, I don't believe that there's a God in heaven. Well, I believe that there is one because he sure did perform some miracles in my life today. He's performed miracles in all of our lives, each and every day. He has allowed me to be able to wake up and to be able to breathe. He allowed me to get up and get dressed, and he allowed me to put on some clothes, and he's allowed me to listen, and he's allowed me to see. He's allowed me to speak. We just need to thank God for what he's done for us. I mean, you know, if God took away my hearing, if he took away my speech, if he took away my eyesight, if he took away all these things, and I could still be able to raise up in the morning and get out of the bed. I may not be able to see what he's created. I may not be able to hear what he's created. But bless Pat, I will still thank him for the miracle. Amen. Because he performs them in every individual's life every day. And they don't give him no credit. He's not asking for credit from me or you. The only thing he asks from us and from humanity is just listen. Just listen. And I was talking to a preacher friend on the phone here about 2 weeks ago. And we was talking, and he got to telling me something. He said, you know, we had any church. A pretty good while since we've had anybody saved. He said, but you know, about 4 weeks ago, we had an individual to get up, and somebody else took his arm and led him down to the altar. They prayed with him. He got saved. And he said, but you know the miraculous thing? That when he give his testimony right after that. And he told the people, he says, I'm saved by the grace of God. I've been coming for 3 weeks. And I said there the first week, I says, I don't know why I'm even there. He said, because I can't hear. And he says, and they don't have sign language. He said, but you know something? Something just touched my heart. And he told the people. He said, you don't have to have ears to hear. All you have to do is let your heart hear. And that preacher told me, he said, you know, it wasn't a dry eye in your house that afternoon. He said, because he said something I've never thought about before. He says, you know, we think that we've got to hear openly the message. But that's not what we hear. That's not what we should be hearing. Hearing with the ear of the open message. We need to allow our hearts to hear the message. And I tell you, preacher kept on, he kept on, and he got to crying on the other end of the phone, and I got to crying, and I got to shouting and everything. I said, well, shoot, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. I told him, I said, brother, I said, you call me this time. And I said, I know we've been talking about 45 minutes on the phone, and it's been on your dime this time. I said, but if you don't mind, the next time we talk to each other, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to let you be on my dime. He says, that's so fine with me. But you know, that right there encouraged me. Now, we ain't had nobody come in here and per se got saved, except for the individual that come in for what, Sister Julia that Sunday. Now, I done what I was supposed to do. And he prayed the sinner's prayer back there. But I told him, now it's going to be up to you. I said, God has done his part. And God has allowed me to do what little part I had in it, which is nothing really. I says, but here is your part. Your part is that you have to be faithful. You have to be true to God. And God knows if you're going to be true to him. And God knows if you are true. But you have got to make a decision on your own. God's done all he can do. Now, if you truly, and I told him, I said, if you truly got saved, I'll say this much. If your life does not change in a way where people can see where your life has changed from this way to that way, then God will bring chastisement on you. Because you are not going to be able to run God down. And that's what people do when they come to the altar. Or when they just stay right there any place on the pew. And they pray out to God. And God will help them. It's better for an individual not to pray at all than to pray and not do anything about it. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is doing something. So when we go to God in prayer, that's what we mean by going to God in prayer. We want God to do something, like what he says right here in verse 5. It's talking about the petition. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. He gonna give us the very desire that is of our heart. Why? Because we have went to him in prayer. We've went to him with the petition that was on our heart. That we may know who? God. That we may know the Son of God. And that we may know the Holy Spirit. And that the triune God has promised us that if trusted in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we have a heaven waiting for us. I have a home that's waiting for me right now in heaven. I don't know what it looks like, but I do know this. It's going to be better than anything I've ever stepped into on the earth. It's going to look better. It's going to be better than any mansion that any individual is living in today that is on this earth. And believe it or not, I heard somebody say this. It was on the TV. Fox News. Says, is that all you listen to? Is that all you watch? Well, they got a whole lot of good stuff on that. But you know, this individual said this. They asked him. He says, you know, what I can't understand is, and, you know, I've been knowing you a long time. And for what you believe and what you have allowed people to be able to hear from you and the things that you are doing for the United States and what you used to do there in Congress and what you used to do there as the governor of your state that one time. What I can't figure out is, why haven't you given the call to run for president? He says, I believe that you'll make a good president. He said, well, I ain't got but one answer for you. And he says, and I do appreciate you thinking of me that way. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, why should I go into something that's not going to bring me joy or happiness? And says, why do I want to go from the top all the way to the bottom? And the individual said, well, being the President of the United States ain't going from the top to the bottom. He said, well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because I've got the highest calling that there ever has been. And he said, what's that? He said, I just surrendered 2 weeks ago to preach God's word. And I can't say no because God's spoken to me. He said, that's the highest calling that I know of that there is. Why would I want to go? Come from the high calling that God has set me on into the lowest of totem poles where man is at. And he says, and I ain't never thought about it in hand before I even got to call anything. He said, but you know, and I'm going to close with this. He says, me, myself, I just got to the point. He said, well, you know, they don't need me running no more. He says, because if I run for office anymore, that means that I've got to go back and I've got to learn it all over again and how to lie. He said, because there's not a politician that don't lie. He said, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. And I told the people what they wanted to hear too when I was in Congress and when I was a governor. See, since then, I've been saved. Since then, God has called me. He says, I cannot go back to that. And it struck me. I said, you know, here is a news station where I know they... They are more on the conservative side. They more in believing what God believes and what the Bible says. They more into that than I think all the others are. It's a shame. It is a shame that we have got individuals that can do so much for this country but then they tell you the reason they don't won't run, can't run. It's because they got a lie. Shouldn't have to do that. We should not even have to even think about that. And we do know how the government got started. And I'm not going to go into that. It's right in God's word. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day.
Now, God, we ask, Father, you'll go with us this afternoon, Father. Be with us. Lord, we just pray, God, that you may meet the need of each one that is here this day. And, Father, we do thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray, Father, for that one that's here. Lord, if something was said, Father, that touched our heart, they know that they need to come to an old-fashioned altar and just talk to you once again. Lord, we know, Father, that you're here and you want to hear from them. You want to hear from your people. Thank you, Father, for hearing me, and thank you for the prayers that you've answered. Thank you for the miracles that you perform this day in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.